Beloved, when one picks up the book of Esther, ears and hearts are positioned to hear the story of the brave queen, of the one whose beauty is legendary, whose obedience is without thought, whose cunning is wise, and whose willingness to go into the face of adversity is gospel truth. When we pick up the book of Esther, we know that we will hear Mordecai say to her, "Esther, do you not know that you were brought to the kingdom for such a time as this?" When we pick up the book of Esther, we know we will hear her say to her uncle, "I will go, and if I perish, I perish." We pick up the book of Esther knowing that she saves her people, that she defies the edict of the king, and that she overcomes the evil Haman. We pick it up, this book, one of two named after women in the Bible. We pick it up and we know we will learn of this heroine, and we are grateful. But beloved, there's another story. Because you see, before there was an Esther, there was a Vashti. There's another story, and it is not one that we hear about very often, but it is just as powerful, even though we don't hear her voice, even though her name fades from the Bible after the first chapter of Esther. There's another story, and it is powerful because she uses silence. You see, you heard Elaine and Carol read, when King Xerxes asks all of Susa to gather, the text says he throws a banquet for 180 days. That's 6 months. And then in the finality of those 6 months, he throws an even more lavish banquet where the wine flows without end, where everyone has a gold goblet, and they drink with liberality. King Xerxes throws the last party. And in the midst of it, when, as you heard read, he is merry in his wine, drunk, he summons Vashti to come wearing her crown. But there are commentators that say we missed something in our English translation. That Carol, it might be that she was summoned to come wearing only her crown, that her beauty might be made evident to all. Yes. When Vashti hears this command, she knows there's no dignity in it for her. She knows there's no respect of person in it for her. She knows there's no position, and it demeans who she is and the role she's in and the one who created her. She hears this and she must, like the writer of that spiritual, think death has come creeping in my room. For if I deny the king, if I tell the king no, then he has the right to call for my life on the spot. Yes, she must have thought death had come creeping in her room, but still, though we do not hear her voice, still she refuses to go. We do not know if she slams the door in the face of the attendant. We do not know if she simply crosses her arms across her chest and shakes her head. We do not know how she refused the invitation. But we know this. Vashti looked around and saw that the request was unjust. And without the witness of words, without the wrath of her wit, without the weight of worry, she refused. Her actions, her refusal spoke more loudly than any words she could have ever uttered. Beloved, the power of her silence is clear. In her silence, she did not freight her exchange with the attendants with excuses. In her silence, she did not seek to secure her place in the palace. In her silence, she did not wonder if a moment of indignity would make it all right, for she would have her life of luxury. In her silence, she decided to articulate her respect for who she was. In her silence, she took a stand. She used her strength and her spirit. In her silence, she upset the king and the whole kingdom. Did you hear? When she said no, Xerxes, the king, gathered around him all of his henchmen and said, "What should I do?" Scratching their head, they said, hold on, we cannot let Vashti get away with this, for the word will spread to our wives, and because she disrespected you, they will disrespect us, and all the kingdom will be turned upside down. We cannot have this. We cannot let this attitude of ingratitude rise up. You got to get rid of her. One woman, one action, one decision. One moment that changed the course of history. One woman, one action, one moment that changed the course of history. By her silence, by her action, she made herself significant in the plan of God. For if there had not been Vashti's refusal, there would have been no Esther. She, in that one moment, allowed herself to be used as an instrument of God. And yes, it was a minor part, but it played a major role. In that one moment, her silence, her action, placed her in the outworking of God's plan for all creation. Her silence, her action, her stand speaks volumes. And beloved, it was no different for the suffragettes. We think of them, and if you Google them, the first pictures that come up for these women are marches down major streets in New York where there are thousands of women dressed in white. If you Google them, what rises up are images of conventions where they stand and they speak the truth of their desire for women to get the vote. But what you should know is what moved the needle, what moved the president, Woodrow Wilson, to support them were not those marches down Fifth Avenue. They were not those conventions where they stood on stumps or stood on stages and declared the truth. It was not the relentless letters written from across the world demanding that half the population of the United States have the right to vote. It was none of these things. What moved the president, what moved Woodrow Wilson, history tells us, was the behavior of 2,000 women across 2.5 years from January 10th, 1917 to June 4th, 1919. These 2,000 women stood outside the gates of 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue and never said a mumbling word. Google silent sentinels. Look them up. For they stood in rain and snow. They stood in cold. They stood as they were derided. They stood as the insults were hurled against them. They stood as rotten fruit was thrown at them. They stood as members of their own family spoke harshly to them. They stood silently and they protested silently. And they served as a constant reminder to the resident of 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue that they would not be deterred. Heard, that they would not be denied. They stood in silence, a form of protest, principled, strategic, and without the need for spoken words. Because like Vashti, they looked around them and they saw that what was being demanded of them, the right to sit at home and not vote, was wrong. Like Vashti, they looked around them and saw that the request that had been made of them to sit as if they had no brain, no thought, no heart was disrespectful to them and their position and the one who had created them. Like Vashti, they looked around and they decided that they would act in silence. In their silence, they were not seeking, like she, to secure a place in the palace. They were seeking to secure my right and my daughter's right and my granddaughter's right and your mother's right to vote. In their silence, they didn't wonder if that moment of indignity at the gate was worth it. They knew it was worth it, for generations might have an opportunity that they did not have. And in their silence, they decided they would fight for respect and relative equity with their fathers and brothers and sons. Like Vashti, they made themselves significant in the story of our nation. Like Vashti, they allowed themselves to be used as instruments for the good. Like Vashti, they were part of God's divine plan for you and for me. And like Vashti, they spoke volumes with their silence. Vashti turned King Xerxes' nation upside down. And the silent sentinels did the same. They did the same because finally, President Wilson, tired, weary, worn down by their powerful silence, gave in. And beloved, there were even women who pushed against the silent sentinels. Katie Chapman, one of the most powerful suffragettes, called them heretical and radical and told them to try another way. But we don't know her name, but we know Lucy Stone and Alice Paul, for they stood by their actions, by their silence. On November 3rd, you and I, all of us, will vote. Vashti and the silent sentinels teach us the power of action. They teach us that words are not always necessary. They teach us that when we know a principled stand, we may take it even when the world turns against us. And we may stand not knowing how the story will end, but we may stand and speak with our actions. And so, 100 years after our sisters, the silent sentinels, stood, thousands of years after Vashti was moved off the world stage, I ask each of us, gathered here or in your homes, I ask each of us, to do what Vashti and the sentinels did, to look around us, to see in our world, in our neighborhood, even in our homes, what is not good, what is not right, what strips respect, what demands a kind of acquiescence, what says that all are not equal. I ask us to look around and see how we might fight against injustice, how we might use not only our words, but our silence. I ask us to learn from our sisters. What is it that you see? What is it that you know? What is it that you wish would change? Because somewhere in Vashti's life, somewhere in the sentinel's life, they once looked up and said, I hope this will be different. But then something in them rose up and they knew they would be the ones to make it so. What do you see? What do I see? Because beloved, we can act by where we spend our money, no words necessary. We can act by how we vote, no words necessary. We can act by how we treat others. Silence is fine, no words necessary. We can act by what we support, no words necessary. We can act by how we pray, no audible words necessary. We can act like Vashti and the sentinels by our actions, and they will speak louder than our words. And there's just one more thing before I take my seat. You see, that last verse of the morning anthem is, I'm so glad trouble don't last always. I'm so glad trouble don't last always. Somehow into Vashti's mind came the willingness to sacrifice her place because she said, I'm so glad trouble won't last always. I won't always be in this position. The sentinels had to know somewhere in their heart that their work was not in vain. They had to have in their being somewhere the words, I'm so glad that I don't have to stand at this fence always, that there is one who calls my name, that there is one who whispers my name, who wants justice and righteousness to reign. And if I am on the side of that one, right will come and my actions will be a part. If I am on the side, it must be Jesus calling my name. If I am on that side, I'm so glad that trouble don't last always. I'm so glad that the writers of this spiritual, the ones who look like me, decided to withstand the vicissitudes of chattel slavery because they make me possible. I'm so glad Vashti knew trouble didn't last always because she teaches us that our dignity is not in our beauty, but in who we are and how we are created by our God. I'm so glad that the sentinels knew trouble wouldn't last always and they would stand for over 700 days to make a silent point. I'm so glad. And I believe, beloved, that God looks from heaven and says, I've given you the same power to act in silence, to act without words. Because the same one who called their name, hush, Jesus is calling our names. The same one whispers in our being, there are ways for you to act. There are ways for you to be. There are ways for you to stand up. There are ways for you to stand out. There are ways, and it does not take a word. Stand up, act out. Because beloved, somebody, Jesus, is calling your name. And just like his actions on a cross still speak 2,000 years later, your actions and mine, whether written down in the annals of history or not, will speak for the one who created us and fills us and equips us and loves us will know and write it down in the Lamb's Book of Life. Hush. Hush. Jesus is calling your name. Stand up for what is right. Let your actions speak more loudly than any word. Amen and amen. Beloved, we are called in this day, the 100th anniversary of the silent sentinels, to take their lesson, Vashti's lesson, to heart, to look around us and go out and let our actions speak. May we go this week into the world, confident of our power to act without a single word. May you be blessed. May you be equipped. May you be empowered. For the one who loves you is calling your name. Amen and amen.